Very interesting sign. Every end of July, it signals to me that my birthday is right around the corner. And I'm 2 weeks away from a big number in life, which a lot of people make a bigger deal about than is necessary, turning 30. But really, as I'm shifting it from one decade into another, you know, perspective on things change. And it's an interesting perspective. So that's, you know, some change in my life. A big thing that happened for me was getting rid of my home. And this was in Canada. And in a way, it signaled to me, in letting that place go, the change, similar to my age, of a phase of my life and something that I held dear and important. Thinking about housing in Canada and buying homes in Canada typically has been a sense of stability for a lot of people, myself included. And in more recent times, Canada's housing situation has been top of mind for so many people. A lot of my friends, a lot of people that I care about, and of course, in the news in general, there's been a lot of it on TikTok, a lot of it in the news, a lot of it on YouTube, anywhere you go and talk about anything, what's going on in Canadian real estate. It is kind of troubling, to be honest, in terms of the cost of it, the interest of it. And there's a couple of things I don't particularly like about Canada's housing situation. And I think we'll just talk about it as we go along. One of the key things between, for example, Canada and the US that a lot of people don't realize is we've set up our housing in Canada and in a very strange way. There's been, of course, the conversation, which I will probably add to later on as I go along, why your home is not an investment and it's a liability, all those things. I feel like it's just a lot of like conflating ideas because a lot of people have not like separated certain parts of it from each other and just like combining the conversation about an investment versus a home versus Canada's real estate, whatever. A couple of years ago, when interest were all like 0%, everyone was talking about buying homes and making it a huge investment situation. So to see it swing all the way to the other side now where everyone is demonizing people for buying homes or, you know, your home is not an investment, you know, don't think of it too much. It's kind of weird. But again, this is the Canada thing and this is like just life. I guess we just swing all the way one way to the other. Interest rates are now so high, so it is obviously not a bad investment, etc. So we'll break it all down one by one. So first things first, Canadian housing, why is it so damn high? God, is a combination of problems. Canada's interest rates are very sensitive, specifically in the housing market, because in general, Canada's mortgages are not like locked in for the term of the home. So what that means is your home is amortized. Essentially, you can have like a 30-year mortgage or a 25-year mortgage. But the term on the mortgage in terms of the interest rates that you will pay for a certain amount of time within that amortization, and amortization for simple math, let's just assume, is the total period of the whole loan. So let's say you buy a 500K house and you put nothing down, 500K is your amortized amount. Okay, that's the total number over 30 years. Your term in Canada is you would have like a 5-year term, a 4-year term, a 3-year term, a 1-year term, whatever you agree with your bank. And that is the rate you will pay for that term within the amortized number. So if you have, again, 500K loan, your amortized number is 500K, but your term could be 5 years within that 500K. So within that 5 years, you will pay a certain percent. And obviously that's what you agree with your mortgage broker or your lender, what have you. The challenge is if the interest rate changes at the time you're coming up for renewal, then you have to, again, agree with whatever the interest rate is. Whereas in the US, there's no term. It's just all locked in for the most part. There are obviously some term kind of contracts here. But you can also just like do it all in one as a 30-year mortgage, lock it in. So a lot of people who during that COVID time locked in like really low interest rates, like 2%, 1.7%, they are not moving because where are they going to go? Prices are higher, interest is higher. So they're not going to move. In Canada, you have no choice but at some point to renegotiate that deal because your term will expire. Whether now, whether in the future, whether whenever, it will expire. So unless you got like a 5-year term in like 2022, 2021, or 2020, at the furthest, you are thinking about stuff like that. So in one of my scenarios, I have a home that will in 2024 be up for renewal. So it's the end of 2024. So I'm already thinking about what I'm going to do with that one, right? So even though it was a good rate, and I believe now it's like 2.15, and at the time I thought it was such a bad rate because I could have gotten 1.5 or something like that. But I got 2.1 and I was like, ah, man, I could have done so much better. And these are some of the problems with Canadian real estate. The mortgage situation, how the mortgages are set up. So that's step one. The next part of this conversation of why it's high is also supply and demand, which a lot of people talk about. So Canada doesn't build as much homes as we need, which is kind of unfortunate, considering that Canada is a wonderful destination for people to move to. So we can't build enough in the places that we need them. For example, in like major cities, them Toronto, GTA, as needed. Vancouver as well. And a lot of that is also part of zoning. So there's like a lot of like single family zoning in a lot of major parts of town. And the places where you can build multiples a little further. So it's weird. People also have this thing like not in my backyard kind of vibe. So even if they want to change zoning in an area, people in that area will fight it at their council or their city meeting. So there's that kind of experience that happens in Canada as well. And of course, the situation also with like incomes doesn't really lend well for housing because everybody now has to like borrow to buy homes. And so as a result, you have situations where a lot of people are just like spending to the max of what they can afford. I think there's more scenarios in the US where people will walk away from stuff because, you know, sure, you can go to the max you can afford, but it's not sustainable. And there's also a little bit more likelihood to buy stuff all cash in the US than in Canada. So there's that scenario. So that's step one. Why is it so high in Canada? It's just people are just loaning so much and the banks are so stable. So people are not really afraid of stuff collapsing and what have you. Now, in fairness, stuff needs to correct in Canada, but man, Canada is so invested in real estate that it would have to be catastrophic for the housing situation to correct so badly. But we'll see. Hopefully not too bad. So we'll see. We're all watching. The next part of the conversation about housing is a home an investment or not? Well, it depends. I think in every scenario, a home is an investment. In every scenario. Because an investment primarily is something you buy with the expectation that it will go up in value or at least will appreciate in value. Why a lot of people don't think a home is an investment is because it takes away money from you, which I think is a semantic argument. A liability like a car taking money away from you because of depreciation and all those kind of things, sure is valid. A home also depreciating, sure is valid. Technically, a business too has depreciative assets. So like, I think there's that semantic argument about taking money away from you. Like if you're in a business, it also does take some money to run. The idea that, okay, if you can buy a stock or a paper asset and it doesn't take any money away from you, again, it's pretty semantic because you've bought a piece of the business. The business itself is what is taking like on liabilities and stuff. So just because you don't have to deal with it doesn't change what is happening. Somebody has to take it on. It's just not you directly. You're just part of the ownership group. Your ownership of the company forces your company to still pay some liabilities. It's like buying some, if you think about it, like if you buy an asset that goes down in value, it doesn't change that it wasn't an investment. It just was a bad one. That's all it is. Not to say that, you know, liabilities aren't liabilities for a reason. The liability component of a house, for example, which is the mortgage as it is a loan, is the same kind of argument people say, like good loans, bad loans, or like good debt, bad debt. It's kind of that same kind of like semantic argument that people like to make. So this is a good debt because the value of the home is going up and then the loan is going down. It is kind of true. So for me, when it comes to the argument of is it an investment or not, it is. It's just not as great an investment as others, depending on what you're trying to do. If, for example, you are trying to hedge the cost of living, buying a home is a good investment because you are locking in the price of the home as it is today. If you anticipate that the cost of living in the future will be much higher, you are locking in that price today. So in a way, not only are you investing in the value of the home going up in terms of cost of living or what have you, you are also investing in the delta between the cost of living today and the future. Think about it like this. If you're a renter, you are at the mercy of the cost of the market every year that your rent is, your lease is due. So if you decide to move in another year, in another 2 years, you do not have any hedge to that cost of living. It will always change whatever the market is. Now, at the same time, the cost of living goes down and you are not locked into anything. Of course, you take that advantage. It is just a different kind of risk. So for me, when I think about what is an investment or not, is there an expectation of an increase in the appreciative value? Yes, there is on any home. Does it take some money away from you? Yes, but pretty much any asset will do that. Just a matter of what is the delta between how much you spend on it versus how much you gain on it. In any scenario, any investing has its inherent risk, any one of them. You can lose money, you can gain money. It is possible in any investment. That it is more likely in real estate transactions that are short term does not change the fact that it isn't an investment. So that's step one. Now, is it a good investment relative to other things? It depends on your time horizon. We are not going to use the baby boomer generation as the investment example because they are in a very spectacular environment where they bought a lot of homes for so cheap. Obviously, with higher interest rates, around 14% in their own time, sure. But you could buy homes for like 20-something K, 30-something K, 40-something K. This is in US, of course. And now homes are in the hundreds of thousands, if not the millions, obviously from a Canadian perspective. And in the US side, you are now averages where it's around 400 and something, 300 or something, depending on where you live in the US, of course. If you're in San Francisco, New York, Boston, bigger markets, of course, those are also very much gone. The opportunity cost on buying a home versus doing something else is a valid thing to think about. Say, for example, you have 100K. Should you put it in a home or should you invest it in the stock market? Technically, it is up to you. If you have other money elsewhere and it doesn't matter to you, then buying a home, of course, is a valid thing because you want to be in a place, you want to lock in your rates, you want to lock in a bunch of like cost of living stuff. So all those kinds of thoughts matter. And of course, if you also want to pay the premium to own a home, because if you remember, when you buy a home and you lock in a mortgage, that mortgage is the lowest you will pay before any new cost is added. That is the lowest you will pay. In terms of renting, technically, it is supposed to be the highest you will pay unless there's any new damages that you incur, right? But typically, it should be the highest you will pay. And as a result, typically, you're looking for markets, if you're thinking about it from an investment perspective, where the mortgage is at least, or not even at least, in the worst case, lower than the rental value. That's if you're looking to invest in buying homes. But that's, again, it's precise to think about. So that opportunity cost of buying stuff is one thing to think about when you're thinking about investments, like what would that money do elsewhere? When we're thinking about investing as, you know, financial people, what you're looking for in general is the best use of your money. If you have 100K that can bring back 500 versus 100K that brings back 90, so you're losing money, of course you want to go for the 500. But again, what is the risk-adjusted experience? So for example, if you put 100K in crypto, of course tomorrow it could become a million, but we also know that crypto can fall back, take that 100K down to 10. So you look at that risk as well and consider it in factoring your investment decisions. So buying a home versus buying any paper stocks, all those kind of things, people make it a little too simplistic to say a home is not an investment. Now, there's the final piece of the conversation where I've heard or I've been, people are talking about like a home you live in is not an investment. Again, not an apples to apples comparison because living in a home, yes, it does take up space. And of course the money is gone or whatever, or like, you know, it's forced equity or whatever. That whole thing about like, oh, equity in the home you want to build up. Sure. The real issue is when you are in the home, especially on the Canada side, or even in the US, a lot of like in-home expenses, you cannot like tax deduct, right? And that's why a lot of people don't really like the idea of like living in your own home, but as well buy a house, rent it out, and then all the deductions and all the thingies can be used towards, you know, reducing your taxes and what have you, because it's generating some income, so you can use it towards other places. And on average, if you are doing like the typical long-term rental style, it doesn't take a lot for your home to run into losses. So you can then apply those losses to your own personal income that you have as a job. And that is why a lot of people like the idea of investing with a home that they don't live in. Again, I think that's a semantic argument in terms of, well, when you live in the home, all the costs you incur, da 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 da. And again, sure, but it doesn't change the fact that it's still investing because there's a reasonable expect of appreciation. And in a lot of scenarios, it does appreciate on average because inflation and also because cost of living on a yearly basis continues to go up. So if we're going to make this a nice little summary, locking in your cost of living, depending on the time frame, is some kind of investing because you are no longer hedged to whatever the new cost of living is going to be in the future. And so that gain also saves you some money that puts money back in your pocket. It typically doesn't count and a lot of people don't use it, but it makes sense when you think about it in the long term. For example, a lot of reasons why certain people will not sell their homes in 2023 or in any time in the future is because they can no longer afford to live even in the area where their home currently is. So even though they cannot sell and make the equity in the home, the cost of living in their space also counts for something because that money that they would have saved having to pay to live where they currently live is going in their pocket somewhere. It doesn't add to any new cost, but at the same time, because it isn't adding to any investment portfolio, people assume that that isn't a cost to think about. So that is one area that we hardly ever talk about, but needs mentioning. The other side too is the fact that you cannot tax deduct those costs does not change the fact that it isn't an investment. Sure, again, if you are renting out to somebody else, maybe you'd be able to incur it and reduce your taxes. But still, it doesn't change the fact that the value is still going up. It's just a cost that you have to put on the back end to count all together as to whether you are coming out ahead or behind. The side I like to think about in terms of, aside from all these, like, you know, investing, is it losing your money? Is it a liability? Is it taking money away from you because it's a loan? You know, cost of repairs, maintenance, vacancies, all those things that are like cost of entry, cost of exit. All those things are cool. But the other thing too is having a space that you control, not in a, oh, I'm the owner, I'm a landlord. That's not my point. But a space that gives you stability is nice. If you ever get to a point where a home is completely owned, there is that feeling of freedom that nobody can move you out of your space that you cannot price. As human beings, there's also that feeling emotionally of safety that doesn't have a cost. That is technically involved in the cost of investing because there is a reason, again, if we're going back to the investing, there's a reason why your investment advisor takes a certain assessment of your risk tolerance. If you are the type who cannot handle volatility, there's a certain asset class they will move you to. If you can handle volatility, there are other classes they will move you to. These things also should be factored in the home buying perspective. If you're a renter for a long time, which is fine, if you are not the disposable income kind of renter, what I mean is you have choice of rental properties at all times because you're a desirable tenant, because you're a high income earner, because you have a fantastic job or a fantastic set of skills that are always marketable. You're a content creator that is in the upper echelons of content creation. That is, you can actually live off being a content creator. In that scenario, you're a more desirable tenant than someone else who is still scrapping around. The house buying decision for that kind of person is very different than someone who can afford to buy a home in their local community, buys it now, knowing that in the next few years they cannot anymore. That factor of the safety of a home is vastly different. I am sure there are a lot of people who now in 2023 wish they bought homes in 2020 or 2021 because they hoped at the time that, well, they would come back for it. Interest rates were going to be so low for a long time. Now, from a Canadian perspective, I've talked about that at the beginning of this podcast. Of course, there's the term situation that is going to still ruin a lot of Canadians because the terms will change anyways. But on the American side, where people locked in rates for decades, for over 30 years, they are not moving. they are in communities that they probably will not be able to afford even in the next 2 or 3 years if interest rates continue to go up as they've gone, or if inflation stays at the level it has. And even if it doesn't, some are already at rates where they can't even afford where they live now. But because they bought 2 years ago, 3 years ago, they are secure for a while. So that as well is something to factor in the buying versus renting conversation. Someone like me, I don't worry a lot about what I want to rent or buy. It is just a matter of what do I prefer. And that is why I cannot turn around and be acting as if buying in real estate is not, buying in real estate is not an investment. Like it, in any scenario, whether you live the way you don't, it is, it's just a matter of how good or how bad is it. That is my own contribution to the conversation. I do wish more people would buy if they have the opportunity at a rate that makes sense, that doesn't make them house poor, that doesn't make them essentially dangerous financially, because there is a lot of safety that comes with it. Now, in a higher interest rate environment, in a more expensive home environment, higher cost of living environment, it is now more incumbent on us as buyers to be more careful in terms of buying. You have to be significantly more careful, because any mistakes in this market, there isn't a lot of room for error. In the last couple of years, there has been a lot of room for mistakes. There was 0% interest rates. If you had a person buying, you could get 2%, 1%. I remember buying a home. I got 1 point, I believe it was 4.6 or something ridiculous like that. Now, interest rates are around 7, 6, 8 in some places. So you can imagine the complete turnaround. There isn't a lot of room for error. Keep that in mind. Stay safe. Do your best. And for me, this is an ode to my home in Ottawa. It's been real. And I'm sure there'll be more in my future. But we go again.